This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
As you're probably aware, Ireland is playing one of their biggest soccer games of all time this evening. We're up against Czechia in Prague, and the winner of that game is going to progress to face either Denmark or North Macedonia with a place in the World Cup at stake. Now, there's every likelihood you've heard people on about this for weeks and months, with a lot of mentions of a footballer called Troy Parrott in particular thrown in there. But if you want the cheat sheet on all you need to know, you're in luck. I am joined by Daniel Hussey, a sports journalist and presenter with Ireland AM. Daniel, thank you for joining me on what is probably the busiest day of your year, possibly, so far, of a sports journalist. First, get me up to date. And for people confused kind of by the whole thing that's going on and like what's going on with this game in particular, why is the clash so vital right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Where do we start? So on a higher level, most people will know this thing, but Ireland haven't qualified for a World Cup in 24 years, it is. So obviously since Saipan, infamous Saipan with Roy Keane, Mick McCarthy, but we also did very well to get to the round of 16 and just lost some penalties to Spain. And why this is so big is that 20-year thing, first of all. But second of all, bar one playoff in 2009, we haven't really looked like qualifying for another World Cup since. We've had a few near misses, but I mean, this campaign then, to bring it back to this one, we were got off to just a terrible start in the group, and it seemingly looked all over. We had to beat Portugal at home, Hungary away, just to get to this playoff, and somehow we managed to do that, mainly thanks to Troy Parrott, which we'll get into in a second. But what that has left us in is a playoff semi-final, so that's the key bit. Even if we go to Prague and get the win over the Czechs, we still have a final, potential final here in Dublin. So it is manic stations, all right. But that 20-year thing, plus, you know, the football team brings the country together, that sort of thing. So there's a lot in it. I hope I've sort of given a good overview and a good starting point there for you.
No, you have indeed. People will, I'm sure, kind of understand maybe a little bit more why everybody's talking about this so much. And you mentioned a very key character there, Troy Parrott. Troy Parrott is one of the footballers on the Irish team that we've definitely been talking about fairly nonstop over the last number of months. Fill me in on why and how we've gotten to this point.
Yeah, so Troy has always been highly thought of growing up in terms of his youth career. And when he first burst onto the scene with Ireland, I guess things took a little bit slower than most people would have thought. And he played over in England. It didn't quite happen for him. You know, he had a good career there in the likes of the Championship and stuff. But with Tottenham, which was his main club, it didn't quite happen for him. So he's actually moved abroad and he's now playing in the Eredivisie. And it's sort of given him a freedom where we're constantly checking how many goals he's scoring, how many assists he's getting. And for ages, that was great. But obviously, we see him for Ireland, and either through injury or Evan Ferguson was playing ahead of him, it didn't quite happen. And the stars sort of aligned last month. And while Troy has always had this potential to score the Portugal goals and then to go to Hungary and score the hat-trick, which basically beating them on his own, it was absolutely incredible. And we've gone from not really having a superstar player in this Irish team to all of a sudden going, well, if the game's going badly with 20 minutes to go, we still have Troy Parrott on the pitch. So he's almost not been an overnight sensation, because he's always been bubbling under the surface, but to have him now producing both at international level and also club level, which is a little bit off Broadway, and I think that's really helping him as well develop. So, and listening to his interviews post Budapest, he's just got a great head on his young shoulders, and it's the Irish public have taken to him, not just for his goals, but just the way he carries himself. You know,
he has been really impressive throughout it all, and obviously everyone in Ireland has been talking about him and around the world, but particularly all the Irish fans. And I'm sure that that media attention that suddenly went from, you know, a moderate enough level to like 100 million% overnight was probably a lot to deal with. So fair play to him on that. Let's talk about the 20-year thing and Saipan and the last time we had actually qualified for a World Cup, or, you know, even we're close to it. Why would it be such a big deal this evening if we moved on to the next stage of this qualification round?
Yeah, so 24 years ago, I actually remember sitting in a pub watching Ireland versus Cameroon at 7 in the morning, and I was about 7 or 8 years of age, and I was getting into football, don't get me wrong, and Matt Holland scored the goal, so I clapped. But the scenes in front of me, I don't know, have been replicated before, during or since, but it was absolutely pandemonium. And there's something about a major tournament, particularly a World Cup, that brings a country together. And we just haven't had that experience for a lot of people listening in their lifetime. And the Euros are great. As I said, we're actually hosting the Euros in 2028, which would be great. But to have a World Cup over America, Mexico and Canada, I think two of our games are going to be Mexico. Now, the times won't be great, but to even have an opportunity of qualifying for a World Cup like that, I mean, it will literally change people's summers, like people's plans in terms of work schedules, all that stuff. It will literally change because people will be heading over there. People will be trying to get the games in. So I will stress, this is only a semi-final. We are still, I think, 180 plus minutes away from qualifying. But the fact we have the group lined up for us ready to go, it's a bit of a new thing because normally these playoffs take place in November. But because of this extended World Cup, it's now March. So I'm struggling to put into words, but we managed to get over Czechia. We've got a Thursday to Tuesday build-up with a game possibly against Denmark in the Aviva Stadium, which will be off the scale, biggest game in 10 years. Massive stuff. So if we somehow, it's hard to think about it, if we somehow qualify, this summer 2026 could be remembered for a very long time. Yeah. So I don't want to under stress here. This is a massive game that gets us into an even bigger game that gets us into maybe an all-time summer, you know.
The significance of it, I don't think, is lost on anyone, you know. Yeah. Even you're talking about Mexico there, like it's out of this world. Like, as an Irish person, even if you're not into football, there's a bit of curiosity about this for sure. Let's talk about Ireland's recent form. How are we feeling about that? How are we set up going into this evening's game?
Well, if you just take November's results, we are probably the form team in Europe. To beat Portugal, who genuinely will be World Cup contenders next year, and beat a Hungary side, which would definitely fancy themselves a qualifying for this World Cup. We knocked them out. Szoboszlai plays for Liverpool. He is, at the moment, probably one of the best players in the Premier League. He's the captain. And we beat them 3-2 in Budapest. We beat Portugal. And yeah, on that form, Ireland could be favourites going into Czechia. Unfortunately, there was a really poor couple of months results prior to that, and it's what sort of Ireland team will turn up. I feel the confidence from that November games will bring us into this one, but it is to be said that the Czechs can't be underestimated. They're actually the bookmakers' favourites as well. So with all the optimism about qualifying for the World Cup, we're going to go into both these games if we do get to a final as underdogs. But in terms of our recent form, if you take November, we're going to be there. We're going to be in America. We're going to be in Mexico. But if you take maybe over the last year, 2 years, we probably don't have a right to qualify for the World Cup. So it's Heimir Hallgrímsson, who's taken over last year and a half, had a great start to his tenure. Honestly, a dreadful September and pretty bad October as well. And it was seemingly the end. We get someone in for the Euros. This last month, the last two results have just changed the perception. If Ireland can somehow bring that into this game, we could potentially do it. So despite the fact we're underdogs, there's going to nearly be, like, this is a big thing. So Ireland have only got, I think, 1,000. We might get into this away fans tickets, but I feel there'll be a lot more Irish fans in the stadium come 7:45 tonight.
Do we think that the Irish fans are the best in the world? I know that's very rhetorical because we're two Irish people who have been seeing the scenes unfolding on social media and across the media in general about the amount of people that are in mainland Europe right now. Like, trying to somehow get into this game or be somewhere near to it or just be there for the vibes. I mean, we really are going on a wing and a prayer in some ways, but it's been remarkable to see.
Yeah, so like I think 6,000 is the figure that applied for tickets. I think that's the figure they're working on. I mean, I don't know. I feel there's going to be five figures there because, like, I work in sports. I know how big this game is. I still didn't expect people to be there from Monday onwards. I guess they were the cheapest way to get to Prague. Like, the game's Thursday, guys, you know, and people were there Monday. I was actually on a stag in Prague a few weeks ago, and I know I can picture those scenes, those pubs that they're all in. It was manic on just a normal Saturday night, so God knows what's going to happen tonight if Ireland win. But we mentioned the stadium. There's about 19,000 Cedar Stadium, which is very small for a game like this, so about 1,000 Irish official fans. I know a few groups are going to try and get into the home end. We'll see what happens there, but there's going to be, if you do the maths on that, it's going to be 9,000 Irish fans watching it in Prague tonight. It's going to be absolutely insane, and not a bad city to be watching a game like that as well. But in terms of being the best fans, we're just I mentioned the 24 years in the World Cup, we're just dying for a team to support. You saw the scenes of the Euro 2016. on the trains and stuff like that. I guess in terms of best fans in the world, obviously there's always going to be a small bit of trouble, but with the Irish fans in general, it's usually very good-natured stuff compared to some of our other counterparts as well. So we're just dying to get something to cling on to, and if that somehow leads us to Mexico and America, the party's going to be something else. I mean, just to say, if we do somehow manage to get over the line here on Tuesday night in that final, I mean, Wednesday is going to be a... it's going to be a ride off in Dublin anyway.
No one's going to be gone to work. Like, do you know what they always, like, that's always the thing, like, when we think about All-Ireland final day, like, people not going to work. I don't think there'll be someone working in any office across the country if we do make it that far.
But even tomorrow, you won't even have qualified at the point.
You know? Literally. Well, look, obviously, we're getting very close to kickoff here, so I need to let you go. If people want to follow along with you throughout the game, and I presume you'll be providing updates, where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, Daniel Hussey Sport, just put it in. You get me on either YouTube, Twitter, all that jazz. I will be tweeting regardless of what happens, win, lose or draw. I'm just praying we somehow get over the line for that 5-day build up to Tuesday.
Absolutely. Daniel, thank you so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat.
No worries.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.